Kontakt zur Internetszene. Mhm, klar. Er hat irgendwo ein Modem angerufen und hat zu ihm gesagt, piep.
So ein schönes Argument, was man von so Internetausdruckern hört, das Internet ist kein rechtsfreier Raum.
Und meiner Meinung nach,
wer behauptet, dass das Internet kein rechtsfreier Raum ist, hat noch nicht verstanden, dass das Internet gar kein Raum ist.
Nummer 298, 28C3. Hallo und herzlich willkommen zum 298. Kompott, der, wenn ich jetzt behaupten würde, ich hätte den aufgenommen, dann wäre das nicht ganz richtig, weil ich nehme eigentlich nur ganz wenig davon auf. Aber immerhin am 27.12., was jetzt ein Dienstag ist, und der erste Tag des 28. Communication Congress, Chaos Communication Congress. Die Intros nebenbei sind beide schon ein bisschen älter. Und zwar um einiges älter. Das erste ist Kompott 169 Teil 1. Und das zweite Chaos Radio 142. Keine Ahnung, wie alt das ist. Aber ja. Und jedenfalls geht es bei diesem Podcast, wie der Name schon irgendwie nahelegt, um Themen vom 28. Chaos Communication Congress. Als ich mir da nämlich drei Talks rausgesucht habe, beziehungsweise angesehen habe, bei denen ich gesagt habe, das könnte ganz interessant sein, wenn ich das einfach mal weiterverbreite. Und was ihr euch jetzt hier anhören könnt, das ist dann Teil 2, ein Talk, den Christian Balz gehalten hat, oder ein Vortrag, den Christian Balz gehalten hat, gleichzeitig mit dem Vortrag, den ich in Teil 1 verwurstet habe. Da geht es um, 12.45 Uhr in einem der anderen Säle, nicht Teil 1, und da geht es um White IT, was das ist, was die da machen und warum das eigentlich gar nicht so Töfte ist, was die da machen. Und auch da habe ich den Vorteil, dass ich nicht nur durch die Technik der Streams gleichzeitig zwei Talks nehmen konnte zum Podcasten, sondern auch da gibt es eine korrigierte Version. Die ist dann aber wirklich ziemlich genau eine Stunde lang. Also ich habe zumindest nichts gesehen, was ich hätte wegschneiden können, jetzt so auf die Schnelle. Und deswegen übergebe ich auch da und wünsche euch viel Spaß damit.
First, let me thank that you came to my talk, even though it's a German topic, I will be talking in English, because I think it's interesting for a wider audience. So the question is this one. The question is, so what is White IT and what does it aim for? And I will try to encourage that you concern yourself with White IT and similar alliances. So my name is Christian Balz. I represent MOGIS, a German organization of victims of sexual abuse. Being a victim myself, I was involved in a German discussion about blocking in 2009. Most of the information that I will be presenting here is publicly available. It just has to be pieced together in a meaningful way. I first planned to do this talk in German, but for the benefit of everybody in the EU, I will be doing this in English. So please deal with me through the German parts, like the parts concerning Germany. In the end, you should get a picture of what is going on. Especially if you are working with or are a hosting service or access provider based operating in Germany or the European Union, you might want to listen up. One thing I want to make clear in the beginning is I'm not a fundamentalist with regards to fundamental rights. I know there has to be some balance between rights and criminal proceedings, but so let's say I'm willing to cooperate with anybody seriously and constructively working against child sexual abuse, but that person or that organization has to show willingness to respect fundamental rights. Yes. Why do I do the talk now? It's a little early, I have to say, but I want to live a smaller life in the future. I want to finish my PhD thesis, and I want to do it before Mr. zu Gutenberg does it. And I know I have been seeing this for ages. In the end of 2009, I told everybody, well, I will drop out of politics and I will do my doctoral thesis. I did not. Well, and I don't have a ghostwriter, so I have to do it myself. So this is my, it looks like the only chance to make you aware of what is going on, and I can only hope that somebody of you sitting in the room or somebody watching the stream will pick up where I leave. Usually problem is with large gatherings of people, everybody thinks everybody else does it. No, if you don't do it, nobody else does it. Actually, as I said, it's a little early for the awareness rising that I'm trying to do, but next year's 2093 will be way too late. So going public now is the best decision for me, especially in light of the recent events. After this talk, there's a Q&A section. Perhaps off record, I can talk about some stuff if I am asked. So MOGUS is an organization of victims of sexual abuse. First, we call ourselves a voice for victims, eine Stimme für Betroffene. And now we call ourselves MOGUS, a voice for reason. Most of you probably know me from the German debate on blocking. A few of you might know me from the EU debate on access blocking in the Child Protection Directive. The Malmström proposal tried to introduce mandatory blocking for all of the EU's member states. Together with EDRI, European Digital Rights, which is based in Brussels, we got the mandatory part removed from the directive and we got some judicial oversight into it. Yes, thank you too. he has been pivotal as well. As MOGUS represents victims of sexual abuse, we are not only working on fundamental rights, but also on child protection issues, which is one of the reasons why we got involved with White IT at all. The first time I ran into White IT was in 2010, at the CeBIT in 2010, when they unveiled their Jetzt löschen, remove now button. And how can I say, I did a little parody on it, the denunciation button 2.0. Actually, I have to say my button was more successful than the Jetzt löschen button, because I got a few hundred reports and they got none, or two, I don't know. Also, my browser button was not implemented as an XPI, but rather as a bookmarklet. I didn't tell them how it works. They spent €12,000 on XPI, which was licensed under the GPL, which was quite nice. But I thought, well, an XPI is perhaps a little too intrusive, so I did it as a bookmarklet as well. One thing to remember, this Jetzt löschen button might come back in new incarnations. It might be the new shiny app for your iPhone or your Android. It might have a different name, reporting tool, emergency button, whatever. So I regularly ran into members of White IT at hearings of the European Parliament on the Child Exploitation Directive, the one which tried to introduce blocking. So that's where the gentleman over there also came to know White IT. During a plenary discussion and CeBIT against cybercrime, which just started at the CeBIT 2011, I had a plenary discussion together with Mr. Schünemann and somebody from the BKA and Mr. Professor Meyer from the Leibniz Universität Hannover. And I was invited to participate in White IT on stage. So, well, I could not decline the offer. We agreed to take part under the specific condition that we become part of the steering committee within White IT. It's called Lenkungskreis, now Lenkungskreis Plus, because we wanted to have control over the process. We are not some yes-sayers or something that can be driven over. Well, we did not become member of that. The structure changed in between. We became a member of the program management board, which is just below the Lenkungskreis Plus, the new Lenkungskreis Plus, which for a while seemed good, because the program management board manages all of the White IT projects, which means I got to know every White IT project, which will be later on, which will be important later on in the talk. White IT is Das Bündnis gegen Kindesmissbrauch und dessen Darstellung vor allem in der digitalen Welt. This long title, can I say, stems from the fact that I was nabbling then about using child pornography in that title. This alliance translates as alliance against child abuse and its depiction, especially in the digital world. It is an alliance of more than 30 parties, like 35 at the moment, I believe. So they are from the industry, like Avira, Computer Center, Fujitsu, IBM, Intel, IT Watch, Microsoft, Oracle, Software AG, Symantec, Science, the Hasso-Plattner Institute, that might raise some eyebrows, or not, and the University of Hannover. Then a few NGOs, the Ärztekammer Niedersachsen, the Auerbach Stiftung, Bitkom, which is important because that's the providers, ECHO, FSM, the Initiative, D21, and Innocence in Danger, probably also well known in this course. And of course, there are governmental organizations organized within white IT, so this is ministries, the Ministry of Interior of Lower Saxony, with Mr. Schünemann as minister, then the BKA, the state, the LKAs, for example, Niedersachsen and Brandenburg, and a few governmental, like federal ministries, like the Ministry of Justice is involved with white IT. White IT was founded in late 29 after the Censusula campaign when the, how can I say, the CDU realized that just blocking doesn't work. And as actually they were taking up our momentum from the Remove Don't Block campaign. So now they are working cooperatively to lower the dissemination, redistribution of child exploitation material, CAM, which I believe is the correct name for child pornography, because child pornography is the wrong term for it. This white IT has a staffed office in the Ministry of Interior in Lower Saxony, so it's really situated within the ministry. At the moment it has 3 employees, and it also has a supporting association, the White IT Supporters, which basically does all the money transactions. White IT currently has 3 major parts. As I said, the structure changed a little in between the invitation and us taking part. There's a steering committee, which determines where White IT is going, the program management board, where the projects are being managed, and the Geschäftsstelle, which coordinates the interaction. The Supporters is an association of White IT members and people like external to White IT to organize financial support for White IT. There's also a Bund-Länder-Projektgruppe, bundesweite Hashware-Datenbank Kinderpornografie, is like a federal database on child abuse images. This database will not only contain child abuse material, but also usual pornography. It has 5 categories. Only 2 of them are criminal in Germany. And this database, how can I say, would be a topic for a different talk. I hope that somebody might stand up and explain us what this Hashwertdatenbank Kinderpornografie is meant to be and how it is supposed to work and what is actually put into this database. It's really important. Somebody has to take this up. That's actually the reason why I ask you to use the internet and the wiki and perhaps do some open source research. So if you have some time, please look for this. Oops. So the White IT Steering Board has a few members, Ärztekammer, Avira and Auerbach Stiftung. That's quite kind of strange because it's like the same person representing both. Then there's Bitkom, Computer Center, Fujitsu, Initiative D21, Microsoft, Oracle Software AG and Symantec. So all the most important player, and most of them being global players. So the Supporters has been founded in 2011. It has been founded in Berlin at the Ständige Vertretung des Landes Niedersachsen in Berlin. Chairman is somebody from Computer Center. Second chairman is somebody from the Minister of Interior. The treasurer is a German veteran from Afghanistan, who currently is intern at the Minister of Interior. The secondary is somebody from Symantec, and there is an additional board member, Thomas Diekmann. I would suggest Googling all of them to Thomas Dickmann is kind of strange because he is difficult to find. White IT supporters' role is to enlarge the reach of white IT and to be able to raise money for the projects. Well, the control by the Minister of Interior is quite apparent. So, white IT has certain projects, certain directions that is like working on. First was the research into the market of child abuse material. This actually was quite helpful because it showed that there actually is no market for child abuse material. Then some preventive measures, like kein Täter werden, like don't become a perpetrator. But the problem with that, from my opinion, is that this therapy is limited to pedophiles, which is like only 20% of the people abusing children. Then some import for helping victims. And then development and implementation of robust hashes to recognize an image even if it has changed, like the quality setting of a JPEG image or some bit flipped the orientation or whatever. And then, of course, some detection tools for child abuse material. You see, I call this still the better part because I realized that if a police has to search a perpetrator's computer, they should not have to look at every picture because that is not good for your mental health. So finding pictures that you already know is helpful for them to not get insane after a short time. And then, of course, the implementation and integration of database of child abuse material. You see, I call this the better part, even though I don't really like it, so it will get worse. So we have the reporting tool integrated in the client server, like the Jetzt Löschen button, or emergency button, or whatever button. Actually, I got the Remove Now button removed from the projects. If anybody wants to pay my travel cost for that one meeting, it's €151. I would be really glad and thankful. Because it was, the Jetzt Löschen button was some kind like a zombie. It kept reappearing. I had to kill it twice. No, actually, I had to kill it twice, really, because there was so much. It is such a key ingredient to the whole white IT strategy that they could not give it up easily. So now we come to the more automated parts, like a dedicated interface for processing notice and takedown messages. Then compliance detection and enforcement in the network and the client, like Avira and Symantec propose. And IT Watch even is proposing a scanner for the graphic cards, which stops the displaying of such content, or is meant to stop displaying such content. I have not seen a working prototype yet. Then there is an analysis of state and federal legislation with regard to data protection, telecommunication regulation, and privacy issues and constitutional rights, and which is about like, how can we do that? How can we scan the client? How can we scan host providers, whatever? I will talk about more about this later. Then there's also planning of new legislation, like how can the government interact with the private sector on the removal of content, but also about covert operations, verdeckte Ermittlungen, and especially what stumbled me was this paragraph 110a Strafprozessordnung, which mentions V-Männer. I know, you know, we just had quite a scandal about V-Männer. I cannot possibly believe what they want to do with V-Männer in that topic. Do they want to distribute child abuse material? Yeah, that's like, actually that is what it comes down to. I think they want to change legislation so they can distribute these images. At the moment, they can't, and I believe this is good, because what we see now is that, for example, the FBI in the United States can distribute child abuse material, and this material can be seen from here. So we see their honeypots. Yeah, this is a disgrace, because these are images of children being sexually abused. And of course, there is the planning and guiding the political process leading to the necessary change in legislation. This is really anticipated. Even now, they are already anticipating that they have to change the law to implement what they want to implement. So this is what this is about. So White IT is working on ChemNet, the Child Abuse Media Meta Information Network. In the center, you have a database. Like These company names you can just cross from it because there are more people involved. These are the more visible. And this into this data, this database is being fed by the police and by the reporting office. You see the red button? You see it's pivotal because they need the content. They need some people reporting illegal content because actually you get more reports from the public than from the police. And so this reporting button and the police feed into the database, and the database gives hashes for compliance scanner and clients, like for the antiviren solution, like Avira and Symantec, then the scanning of hosting providers and clouds, and the scanning of freemail providers like GMX, or you see Echo is involved, so there must be some agreement on proceeding that way. Additionally, this hash goes to the search engines like Bing and Google. So they find these images on the internet and report them. You see the feedback to the reporting office. So it's like a fishnet trawling the internet with like illegal content being reported. Of course, you know, this technology will be neutral to content. So if you feed a hash into it, it will find it, whether that is child abuse images or not. And this is what they envision. And of course, then certain questions are raised, like, is it okay to give the hashes to the search providers so they find what they have to do when they find the file? Also, can we give these hashes to police abroad? Is it okay to scan the email of a customer? Is it okay to scan the host of a customer? Is it okay to scan the client of a customer? How to react, all this stuff. This is being worked on. This is a project where I was kind of close. What I was working on with other people was the police cooperation, whether it's okay to interact with other police forces in the European Union. The other part was split off the project I was working on. You might imagine why. And was done in a different project, and it was put together after my part of the project finished, which is the reason why I'm here. So, first and foremost, as a victim of sexual abuse, I am all against throwing around images of children being sexually abused, even if it's done by the police. You know, it's like the literal, if the shit hits the fan. You just cannot do it. Even more so, I'm concerned when the data crosses judiciary boundaries or is being stored in international databases. Well, I become even more skeptical if metadata is involved, because it makes it even more harmful when this gets leaked. If you know what the name of the victim is, then this is really bad for the victim. And actually, these databases are around already, and there's no public discussion about these databases, what is being fed into it, who has access, and so on. Hashes, of course, in the beginning might be less sensitive, but they can be used to look up that content. Either if your database is large enough, if you are a search engine, or if you have enough clients to do the search. Any bot masters around here? Imagine like Symantec putting that on the client, and let's say you have 300,000 commercial clients in Germany alone. I think that is enough to find images on the internet if you somehow manage to instrument the client installation of Avira. Additionally, I believe it to be wrong to work on project to scan the customer's data without the involvement of a public discussion. So, legal questions. As I said, not only we do realize that this is a problem, they do realize it as well. So at the moment there is a legal opinion being sought. Whether these hashes can be exchanged, well, that is like the part of the project I was working on, because I was helping in drafting the questions. I was helping in drafting meaningful questions. Well, and then there is the other part, whether these hashes can be disseminated to interested third parties, the antivirus vendors and search engines as an example. Then there is the question whether there is the willingness of the service providers to use these scanners to scan their customers' data. As I said, email hosting, cloud, access provider, and how this activity by the providers can be assessed, whether it violates fundamental rights. Article 10 is telecommunication. Article 13 is lawful search. And whether changing the provider's terms and conditions can just accommodate for the scanning of customers' data. So they want to do the small solution. Next time you log in GMX, you have to accept the new AGB, which like tells, okay, you can use GMX, but not for certain content. And if we find you using that content, then you are in trouble. And then there's the question, of course, there are always providers which are not willing to cooperate on the scanning their customers' data. I call them the brave providers. We had the same thing in the German blocking discussion in 2009, where some providers said, no, we won't block, and which have to have been put into the child abusers corner, perhaps you remember. And so they're asking themselves, like, how can we force them to cooperate? And then, of course, is the question, like, how current legislation has to be changed to accommodate for the voluntary and the involuntary scanning of customers' data. So that was the spotlight on the Chemnet. Additionally, I have a few grievances I want to make public. First is Microsoft and its PhotoDNA. Microsoft has PhotoDNA, which claims to reliably detect images even when distorted or changed otherwise. Facebook uses this to implement their image search. PhotoDNA is based on research by a digital forensics expert in Dartmouth College. This research is under a non-disclosure agreement. I had some mail exchange with Professor Farid and Microsoft. So Professor Farid wrote that, well, this is under non-disclosure agreement and the full technical details are not available, and to go to Microsoft and ask them. Well, I went to Microsoft. Microsoft told me it has not been published and there is quite a bit of information available at Microsoft PhotoDNA. Actually, this is just the usual press kit. I am a scientist, I'm a mathematician, and this is just bullshit what you find on that page. It doesn't tell you the algorithm. And so, if anybody is interested watching the stream or in this room, please, if anybody can find out how PhotoDNA works, I believe it's some heuristics. I believe the reason it is under NDA is because it uses heuristics which can be defeated if you know them. And actually, the heuristics can be found, I believe, because there's on the internet you can find an abstract to a poster presentation from 2009, I believe, or 2010, where you can like somehow reconstruct from the abstract what they are doing. They are going through the image in a certain way. So I don't believe this is like really working. So it's under NDA and Microsoft tries to sell it. What is interesting is that White IT could not get hold of PhotoDNA for evaluation purposes. Pretty interesting, because they are working on scanning like criminals' computers and they would like to evaluate how good is our robust hashes with comparison to other robust hashes, or let's say, for example, with PhotoDNA. White IT couldn't get hold of the source, of course, Microsoft. Well, you would expect to get hold of object code that you can call with an API. No, they didn't get that. Neither did they get it as software as a service. Microsoft was even unwilling to give them a black box that they could like upload pictures for scanning. So the question really is PhotoDNA as robust as claimed? As I said, there's this abstract. And there is some other thing. You know, White IT is full of this marketing and sales droid. Sometimes I got the impression it is like a sales venue for these antivirus and other software vendors. So on one of these Microsoft sales representatives told me something about implementing DPI on the router. So, which would mean that they reassemble packets on the router or some DPI node, whatever, and like put the pictures together and then do the reporting. So, the question really is Microsoft working on implementing PhotoDNA as a DPI technology? recognizing images in a stream of data. This next spotlight, this is the role of BSS, Buzet and Arne Schönbohm. Arne Schönbohm is the son of Jörn Schönbohm, who has been Minister of Interior in Brandenburg. So that's like how you can found a career. He has been with ERDS and with the defense sector for a while. And he shared the panel discussion in 2011 with Minister Schünemann and Frau von Weiler from Innocence in Danger. The other panel discussion was Jimmy Schulz from the German Bundestag. And he was like, how can I say, everybody was against him, of course. It was like a home game, Heimspiel for Mr. Schünemann. Even the moderator was in favor of data retention and all the bad stuff that you know about. So actually, big up for Jimmy Schulz for being there and taking all the beating. And I will not publish the audio, him saying, rechtsfreier Raum. No, you should have seen his face when it slipped from his mouth. He's not in favor of that, of using that. So, Arne Schönbohm recently came into my mind again when there was a discussion about the German Staatstrojaner, because he said that Trojan horses secure our prosperity and wealth. If you want to go to Fefe, the Nerds Bild-Zeitung, it's a little long to type now, but anyway, you will find it. Use this Q&A section. So let's have a look. What actually is this BSS Buzet Shared Service AG? The commercial focus lies on the German security market. It concentrates on clients that have a security-related role. Governmental organizations, non-governmental organizations, and companies involved with defense, technology, and security. That sounds nice, doesn't it? From the BSS Buzet webpage, we support all kinds of companies from the security sector in relation to increasing their market share or getting involved with security research programs. Wow, that fits, doesn't it? Like what Symantec and Avira are doing at the moment? A further spear of our activity is to advise various political decision makers with regard to security strategies. So I ask myself, what is Mr. Schönbohm's role in the wide IT endeavor? Is he advising Minister Schünemann on data retention, which is now called Mindestspeicherfrist or Mindestdatenspeicherung? Is this term coined by him, perhaps? Because I got the impression that he's very well versed in political processes and how to communicate. So I think really people should use the chance and look up BSS Buzet and Arne Schönbohm and what he does. And while we are at it, Arne Schönbohm had a Wikipedia page. You know, it has been removed in 2009 because, you know, the usual one, it wasn't relevant. I believe Arne Schönbohm is relevant. So go to the major wiki and put the fucking article in back into the Wikipedia and research on Arne Schönbohm. I think he has to be in public focus. And then the question is, what other projects are BSS Buzet Shared Services AG and Mr. Schönbohm working on? I know he works on Tetra, he's promoting Tetra. And there might be other things that he's working on, like what are his ties to ERDS, the defense sector, and so on. The more or less last topic is the antivirus vendors. All of these vendors are working on compliance scanners. IT Watch even wants to implement a compliance scanner on a graphics card. Well, on a client, this will only work very limited, perhaps in corporations where you have limited access to the hardware. Well, this situation changes if you talk about scanning customers' data as planned with Chemnet, a hosting provider, email provider, cloud provider, eventually access provider. I can show you the Chemnet picture again. You know, they want to scan corporate networks. If you develop a technology to scan a corporate networks with 10,000 nodes, you can use it for an access provider. You just need more of it. So this can be understood, I believe, or can be feared to be the stepstone for enlarging to beyond the corporation's networks and the access providers or end users' networks. So I want to single out a single company, and that is Symantec. The reason Symantec gets this place is because from my point of view, it looks as it is white IT's driver for internationalization, especially Spain and Netherlands. And also to a talk given at the White IT Symposium. About the internationalization, Symantec facilitated the networking with the Spanish Alia 2, which is a Spanish fund, which works on the exactly same topic as White IT. So Symantec facilitated this networking during the Symantec conference in Spain. The interesting thing about Alia 2 is that they did not become member of InHope, the reporting network for criminal content. They applied for being a Meldestelle, a contact point for criminal content, but they did not become a hotline. They did not become a hotline for child abuse material. I asked myself, why didn't Alia 2 become member of InHope? That perhaps is a question to InHope. If anybody in the room are watching the stream, wants to perhaps ask InHope why Alia 2 is not a member of InHope, please feel free to do so. And if you don't do it, nobody else does it. If you want to see it, go on the White IT homepage and you will see Alia 2, the interaction being announced. So let's go back to the talk that I was talking about, why actually Symantec gets this place. And that is a talk that was given in 2010 and had the title Bestrebung und technische Realisierbarkeit gegen Missbrauch der Kommunikationsstruktur. Like efforts and technical realizability against misuse of communication infrastructure. The lecturer, of course, from Symantec was asking, is die technische Zensur in der Demokratie durchsetzbar? So does technical censorship work with a democracy? How do we work active and proactive against, like, misuse of networks? Which measures are realizable and how is the reaction on them? Ah, I think that's actually what you ask yourself if you want to imprison your constituents. So then the talk goes on about how new technology is disruptive and how to have to adapt it. Actually, it seems that if they identified social networks as a threat, their solution to it is DLP, data loss prevention. Well, that is a very bad picture. I did it with this fucking phone. And, you know, I watched some CSI Miami sequels. You see what you can do with image enhancing technology? So you have the management layer, which explains what kind of data is allowed to flow in the network. You have the discovery of the data, like on the drives. You have the discovery, the monitoring in the network, and then you have to action on what happens on the network or on the host. Some of you might be remembered on the Schultrojaner. Schultrojaner will work exactly like that. 1% of the computers are being scanned. You just install Symantec, whatever. So this is data loss prevention. I asked myself, what the fuck has data loss prevention to do with child abuse material? Actually, I want child abuse material to be lost. Yes, and actually, the other stuff is like, and he was also mentioning identity management and copy prevention and ownership detection. Huh? That might sound familiar, doesn't it? So, it, for me, as a victim of sexual abuse, it looks as if child abuse is being used to force DPI technology down our throats. Actually, I got this original of the slides, so it wasn't like CSI Miami. You cannot, like, regenerate that image. The other thing is this. Look what Symantec was advertising in the same talk. Their global intelligent networks, they have like 240,000 sensors in 200 plus countries, 130 million clients. And that they use for their intelligent on current threats on the internet. And also you see they have this 1 billion web requests a day, so also they are harvesting the internet. So, and it was advertised at the workshop against child abuse images in Hannover in 2010, which is the reason why Symantec gets the spotlight. So as I said, the talk mentioned all this stuff together with child abuse material, and it doesn't fit together. Either the sales representative was completely misguided, which I do not believe, because he told me about the new threat, which will be applications on the phone, and how to combat like a child abuse material app, what you call the child porn app. So he's not completely misguided, I believe. Especially as one of the leading questions was what measures are realizable and how is the reaction to them. So they are realizing currently already that what they are doing will not be received nicely by us. So some questions about the strategy of Norton Symantec arise. Does Norton Symantec work on deep packet inspection technology for law enforcement purposes? Since VeriSign recently became part of Norton Symantec, perhaps you know, VeriSign is a certification authority. Some people might remember DigiNota. The question is, does VeriSign hand out certificates to governments to enable their law enforcement agency to do active man in the middle? The reason why I'm asking this is because during the talk, the sales representative was talking about breaking up encryption, SSL encryption at the border gateway. Perhaps now it's the time that you want to install Perspective or you want to enable your Google Chrome for HTTPS. Since PGP, it's important, also bought PGP and Guardian Edge, can these software tools still be used by end users without fearing that there is some key screw going on in the background? So, quick outlook. White IT is currently refocusing its strategy, which is the reason why I'm here. They have been, how can I say, like more covered or nice in the past. Currently, they are unveiling their strategy, which I put here. The legal opinion will probably be organized to be favorable for the measures envisioned. Even if not being completely in favor of the measures, it will point to legislative measures and how they have to be made. Well, actually, apart from White IT, there are other things you have to think about. And there are other alliances which try to do similar stuff. Perhaps not as bad or not as directed. At the moment, for example, there is the digital agenda by Commissioner Kroes, the one who appointed Mr. zu Gutenberg as her advisor on internet freedom. And it has a plan to make the internet a better place for kids. Well, I call for a plan to make the world a better place for kids. Let's do away with railway stations first. You know, it's like you can buy drugs and stuff there. Or like railway stations are only for people over 18 or something like that. The coalition has about 27 founding members, and it's the who's who of like providers, be it telephone or information. You see, this will be difficult to stem. Its planned action include the easing and reporting of harmful content, you remember the red button? The wider use of content classification. You want to be seen on a usual iPhone browser, you better label it as like P0 or something. And then the effective takedown of child abuse material, which is like similar to the ChemNet effort. Well, this slide is broken, but the best way for you to predict the future is to shape it. And as I said, if you don't do it, nobody else does it. So please get involved with at least the Safer Internet Coalition. And it would be nice if somebody takes up my place in White IT, because I believe after this talk, I will have some trouble over there. I cannot imagine why, but they might misunderstand what I did today. I thank you very much, and I think we open the floor to questions.
Yep. That's a huge email address.
Yes, you know, that's like DG Info, Safer Internet Coalition, whatever. I didn't want to put the name of the person in charge in there because that is like against privacy.
Right. So if you have questions, please raise your hand. We have microphones. Please talk into them so that people on the stream can hear. You can also ask your questions on IRC or on Twitter using the hashtag Sal2. Well,
I'm sorry.
In Denmark, we also, after New Year, we're getting a new law, which is mandating DNS blocking of gaming sites which don't have a license to operate in Denmark.
Yeah, it's the same in Germany.
And that's a response to that, that we had some blocking from piracy sites, and we've also had a voluntary effort with Save the Children and Danish police to make a list of child pornography sites, which have been voluntary in the way that if you don't have it, the tablet press would write about you. So and all the big ISPs have been forced to have it, even though everyone who wants to see child pornography, they know how to get around the DNS blogging.
The thing is with this, in Denmark it's Red Barnet, I believe.
Yes.
Red Barnet is Save the Children Denmark. And this is part of a bigger effort which precluded the EU directive on blocking. Actually, this was part of an effort which started in 2007 and which was driven by a few non-governmental organizations and was, funded by the European Union. It was in the INEXO, inside of the Safe Internet project. There is INEXO, which gets funded €400,000 for this term, which is like the network of child rights organizations and being in favor of blocking. Actually, I would not call them child rights organizations anymore. I would call them child rights industry, because their business model is based on, exploiting sexual abuse, because they have to raise money for their work, and so they have to be visible in the media, and to become visible in the media, they have to align with somebody public, and that's the reason why they promote the blocking as well, because they gain something from it. They get popularity and they get money from the European Union. I think they forgot about the children in the process. It's my personal opinion. The thing is, actually their market share is declining because there are even less children every year in Europe. So they started redefining what a child is. A child now is every person under 18. In the new Child Protection Directive, the definition of child pornography includes images of adults looking like children, like looking like under 18. I think it's very easy to look under 18 if you're like 20. So this way you enlarge your market share, you just grow the market, and that's what they are doing. You redefine what a child is, you redefine what child pornography is. And that's the reason why they use child pornography, because it is a very strange definition. It's too broad. It includes more than child abuse images. It includes content that has been legal in the past in Europe. For example, you have the Blechtrommel. The film Die Blechtrommel is child pornography under the new definition, because this is a small boy and he has sex with a woman, even if it's simulated. Like the directive says simulated contact, and also says even without the existence of such a child. So purely fictional work, so which is like Nabokov, Lolita. So I think this overly broad terms have the danger of damaging the reputation of child protection. It's my opinion, because you lose the cooperation on that topic if you become too broad or too restricted in your measures.
FYI, if you have questions in the back, please line up on the microphone in the middle. And if you're in the front, I'll bring the microphone to you.
Hi. This child abuse is an issue that is very often today, and it resembles to me the process of the video cameras surveillance because I'm remembering when the Basque Country bombings and all that process served as a vector to introduce the camera surveillance system because when that technology was introduced, the people asked to the Constitutional Court, and the Constitutional Court replied validating that technology because of our security and so on. So it seems like with this child abuse thing is going the same process, and it seems that surveillance technologies are being implemented with this issue. So my question, because child abuse is a real thing, is in how might child abuse be fighted or neutralized or so and so with an equilibrium? Where is the equilibrium? Which is the way to deal with this thing without harming human rights and so on? So,
well, I don't know where this equilibrium is, but I want to have a public discussion about it. That's the point. Because policy is not only about forcing stuff down people's throats. Policies is about organizing support behind your effort. And at the moment, this support is being organized with money or with power. And it's not organized by consensus. And also my trouble with this approach to fighting child abuse is that it puts the attention in the wrong place. In Germany, 99% of the children are being abused without pictures being taken. We focus on the child abuse imagery all the time. We are not talking about the child abuse. So every intention we put on technological measures to fight the social problem, we are losing on the side of the social problem. So I want people to concentrate on prevention, intervention of the abuse, and the help for the victims. I have been involved with the round table talks on sexual abuse in Germany for about half a year. I was a member of the round table, and this was the same problem. It's like everybody is talking about prevention but forgetting all the victims that are already there. So they all, it's a little bit like psychology, because you don't want to face the real problem with child abuse. Child abuse is somebody far away. It's that pedophile over there, or it's, well, it's in the internet. It's not like my neighbor or my husband or my uncle, my brother, you know. And people like to look away. It's like this way you protect yourself from psychological harm. But I think policy has to be more intelligent than the average constituent. So actually we have to put the focus on fighting real abuse, because that is where the images are being produced. So by fighting abuse, we will lower this content, the availability of that content. And also I think that all the money being spent on technological measures is best fed into educating the police, for example. It's quite strange, you know, they have these computers of assumed perpetrators, and they have it in their offices for 2 years and do not manage to scan it, and then the computers go back to the people. So this is bad on two regards. Either one thing is it violates your rights for a due process, because it takes too long for them to analyze what is on your hard disk. And the other is like people get away with what they do because the data cannot be scanned. So because of the equilibrium, I think this has to be somewhere in the middle. We have to accept that there has to be some criminal investigation, but also the side doing the criminal investigation has to accept that we have fundamental rights. And fundamental rights for me does not mean some Bill of Rights, some European Declaration on Human Rights or whatever. It's like there are a few lines that should not be crossed, and one is the privacy. And scanning my email to like suspect me as a pedosexual is going too far. I mean, some people might opt into it, but for most of the public, it's just like data retention. You think everybody is an abuser, and until proven otherwise, is quite strange, especially with the new definition of child pornography. This will become troublesome in the future. So if you have Schulmädchen report or still around, please be careful not to cross any borders. And don't put it on your PC. At the moment, it is not criminal in Germany, but the law can change any time. So especially with organizations like Save the Children, Innocence in Danger, UNICEF around, this can change very fast. Which was the reason why I wanted to have the term child abuse images or child abuse material in the directive, which we did not manage through the trialogue. Before the trialogue, it was in the directive, but after the trialogue, it went out of the directive. So now it's child pornography again, which is too broad a term.
One question from IRC. Do you know of any plans to implement the red button to report normal pornography to protect children?
Well, to protect children is different because, you know, that's like what the Coalition for Making the Internet a Better Place for Children calls harmful content. There's a big difference between harmful content and criminal content. So reporting button for children is like for harmful content. And about harmful content, I think you cannot avoid every trauma in a childhood. So being traumatized is part of being a child, some worse, some less. And for me, for example, when I was 8, I had a thick book in my hand. The book was called The First World War and All Its Scary Details. Der Erste Weltkrieg und seine grausame Wirklichkeit. There was a book full of pictures of people being blown apart, big cannons like this grenade cones, you know, and you could see everything in every detail. And I saw that as an 8-year-old, and I have to say I was disturbed. Yes, but I tell you what, I became a pacifist. Yes, you know, you have to see war, you have to see what war means to avoid it again. So do we want to protect children from all the bad aspects of humanity? So until they are 18, they are not allowed to watch the scary pictures except as in their history classes? I want them to be able to visit rotten.com if they choose so. On rotten.com you can watch how it looks if an Iraqi surgeon gets shot in the head. You get a very visual depiction of what it means that what you read in the newspaper, somebody was shot, 20 insurgents were shot, whatever, or road bombing. It's like, if you have the images, you understand what is going on in the Iraq, and you want to protect the children and the adolescents from this truth, like because it's harmful, it traumatizes them. It's completely silly. It's like with asthma. If you keep all the germs away from the people, they get sick. So, and if you are like protected from all the harmful content, you will not be able to get on in life. Because when you are 18, there's real life out there waiting for you.
Thanks for your talk. I have a not very technical question. As you know, when some organization or some person, some organization is fighting against something, this organization exists as long as the subject of fighting exists. So, what do you think about, and you can see that there is this database which is dangerous itself in somehow. Mm-hmm. Because of the danger of leaking data from it. Mm-hmm. So what do you think about not fighting, but bringing something to reduce the topic of sexual abuse of children?
Well, you have to tell children how children are being abused. So the problem is, if you are a child and you are being sexually abused, you don't know what happens to you. You do not define it as sexual abuse. Only as an adult you become able to define what happened to you as sexual abuse, because only when you become an adult you realize what effects it has on you. So you have to educate children what is right and what is wrong. And this also means to accept if some child says, no, I don't want to wear that dress because it's similar, or no, I don't want to be touched by grandpa. Stuff like that. And also it's the responsibility of the adults to listen to children. So the strategy to fight abuse is a lot more basic than what you read in the media. As I said, with the kein Täter werden Project. The problem is that most people abusing children are not pedophiles. They don't have a primary sexual orientation for children. They are not only aroused by children. Some of them are not even aroused by children at all. So these children are being abused because they are the weakest link and because they are available. That's the reason why children are being abused, not because they are especially sexually attractive. They are only sexually attractive for pedophiles. And so we have to understand that child abuse happens around. It's a lot less than in earlier years because nowadays we can talk about sexuality. For example, I talked with somebody from Ireland. They couldn't even talk about their abuse because they had no words for it. They didn't even have words to say, I go for the loo. You know, and if you were at a Christian school, you could not say, I was at the toilet. This was too much, that was too gross. So they had no words to name their body parts or to name what happens to them. And if you don't have the words to talk about it, you don't have the mental tools to think about it. So actually I think that the sexual liberation of society enables us to talk about sexual abuse now. Because before that, you could not talk about sexual abuse because sex is taboo and sexual abuse even more so. So I think we have to become more open about it. Like, for example, sexual abuse of women now is an everyday topic that you can talk about without people freaking out completely. So I think it should be the same with sexual abuse of children. We should be able to talk about it openly and without freaking out. And then we have to find out what we can do. And what we can do is not somewhere far away in the internet, but it's around us. If you go somewhere, let's say if you go to a pub or a cocktail bar and you see a child sitting with an adult there, sometimes perhaps you want to ask the child, is this your father? Is this person related to you? For me, for example, this would have helped. If somebody would have asked, sorry, this guy, is this your father? What is he doing with you here? You know, that might have made a difference. I mean, not everybody is as lucky as I was because I was able to go away. A lot of people are not able to go away because they are being abused in their families. And so we have to talk about that. So sometimes you know children listen to what you say and you see them opening up because they can relate to what they say, what you say. They relate to it. You see it working in them. That's like what I would propose. It's like a more humanist approach. It's not the approach.
Well, thank you.
Und dann landen wir in der Musikecke. In der Musikecke gibt es von Entertainment for the Brain Dead aus dem Album Hydrophobia den dritten Titel Resolutions. 3 Minuten 34 ist er lang. Gefunden im großen, weiten Internet vor Jahren mal irgendwann. Gefolgt von Buzz Out Loud 1194 P2P, wobei ich mir einbilde, dass ich das schon mal irgendwann in einem Podcast hatte. Egal. 1 Minute 35 ist das lang. Für den Fall, dass ihr mir Feedback zukommen lassen wollt, könnt ihr mich zum Beispiel bei Twitter @compot anquatschen, mich bei Google Plus erwähnen, eine Mail an compiblog@googlemail.com schreiben oder im compiblog.de compot 298 Teil 2 einen Kommentar hinterlassen. Wenn ihr euch allerdings um den Talk inhaltlich irgendwie bewegen wollt, dann bin ich da nicht der richtige Ansprechpartner. Ich habe das Zeug nur aus dem Netz geladen und mir bei der Gelegenheit dann auch noch angehört, weil ich ja diverse Streamloops loswerden musste. So, und dann wünsche ich euch jedenfalls viel Spaß mit der Musik und bis zum nächsten Mal, wenn ihr nichts dazwischen kommt.
Smiling mysteriously. The weather keeps changing, the world keeps deranging me. Is this the way it should be? And all I can do is to stand next to you with a frown and a lopsided grin. This is the city and this is the body. Thank you. alter, we constantly alter, turn over and over and over again. We walk and we stumble, we constantly fumble for words to obscure and for words to explain.
Neither Brian Tong or I are allowed to talk about the next story. Only
Sim
Tom.
System has invented the world's first electronic underpants. The diagram in the link of the show notes pretty much says it all. There's a sensor that, when the sensor gets moist, will be read by a closed and ever attentive Sim box and sent wirelessly using Zigbee with a bladder report that can be printed at any time. And announced via text message or pager, and then the nurse can take action.
Tom said the M word.
What was that did not help.
Oh my!
It was a good explanation of this technology.
That was good, except for the M word.
You do realize two stories ago the doctor that was studying the cosmic rays last name was Massengill too. It's just saying there's a theme here.
I mention that the data is not kept? They actually wipe the data afterwards. I forgot to mention it.
Oh no.
The underpants will be sold as "Oops, I crapped my pants."
Icor in the chat room was wondering whether it uses P2P technology.
Oh no!
Oh no! This is a really good technology for use in nursing homes, and it will prevent people from getting, you know, terrible rashes and things. But for God's sake, Tom's original headline that he put in our show notes said underwear that texts when it's wet.
That's exactly what it does.
That's exactly what it does.
Oh, man.
Awesome. Wow.
Let's save ourselves.
I think we did okay with that.
Yeah. The potential was